Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Luke Ridnour, Drew Gooden, Joey Devine, Don McLean, Chris Gatling, the Energizer, Sean Keane, Dale Ellis, Trevor Ariza, the most traded man in NBA history, special guest Keith Parrish from Fast Break Breakfast, Patreons Ryan Campbell, thank you Ryan, Tyler Moss, thank you Tyler, Ryan O'Toole, thank you Ryan, musical guest The Breeders featuring Kim Deal and Kelly Deal, there's a lot of deals, and now the temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode and an old friend as a guest. First, I'm here, as always, with your new friend, my best friend, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Sean, someone's calling you. Are you in a boiler room right now? Because it sounds like an old-timey business phone. Well, old-timey as in late 90s.
I was muting myself because the phone rang once, and it kept ringing, and I can't leave to pick it up because I'm sitting at a podcast thing, and I couldn't even respond to you.
All right,
Why don't we just do this intro again?
Well, I'm going to introduce Keith. Why don't you go get the phone? I'll introduce Keith.
The answering machine is going. I can mute myself until it's done. I don't know how to stop this. Maybe we could re-record this part.
Keith, we're here as... we've got a guest today, and it's our friend from the Fast Break Breakfast podcast, Keith Parrish. Oh, and Grits and Grinds, a Memphis Grizzlies podcast.
That's right. Yes.
On the Blue Wire Podcast Network.
Yes.
Did I get it right?
You got it right. As long as you explicitly say Fast Break Breakfast is an independent entity. Mm-hmm. And then Grits and Grinds, yes.
What's it like being both independent and a sellout at the same time?
I think it's the best way to play it. No, you know, Joey, that Grits and Grinds was a secret podcast I hid from my wife.
It was. You did hide it from your wife.
And then I was like, yeah, so I've got this thing going on, and I think it's going to work out pretty well. And she's like, no, you can't do it. That means more podcasts. And I was like, no, I've already been doing it. your life won't change at all. So that worked out just fine. But no, thanks for having me, by the way. I mean, it's good to be back.
We haven't had you in a while.
It's been a minute. I'll be real. I was worried I did something.
No, not at all. We're just bad at booking guests.
What I thought happened was, you know, we share some texts and some direct messages every now and then. And I frequently complain maybe about doing podcasts with people. And I thought maybe they're like, hey, guys, Keith is too busy. We shouldn't bother him. But those complaints, of course, were never about you guys.
Right. Well, I did get a text.
Who were they about? Name names.
Just other people. Yeah. Present company excluded. No, I don't want to record a podcast. I'm done working at night. Those things don't apply to you. I'll always make time at night for the Ramble Rock podcast.
Well, we'll always make time for our friend Keith Parrish, who is, I'm going to say it, if there's some other podcast out there who claims to be the Picasso of the trade machine, our friend Keith is the Magritte of the trade machine.
Like more of an absurdist. Yeah. And he's writing like, this is not a valid trade on the bottom of all his proposals. Yeah,
the Dali of the trade machine, which is what we're going to talk about later. But before we get to some of Keith's fake trades, let's do some news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, what's our first story?
Our first story is a big tweet that kind of shook the NBA recently.
Yeah, it really... I mean, it's obvious this was going to be our top story. Everyone is talking about it.
It just was like a pretty big...
The biggest news in the NBA. And it, of course, comes from Dr. Ruth Westheimer. Sean, do you want to read Dr. Ruth's tweet? Or should I have it? Because I have it pulled up right now.
Yeah, you can do it. You have it pulled up right now.
All right. So Dr. Ruth retweeted... friend of the show, Dwight Howard. So Dwight Howard tweeted, "Rise and shine, world. Check out my new app, PicStory. Let's spread truth, love, and positivity." And then it's a picture of Dwight Howard that is pixelated so terribly. It's like when you, copy a picture on Google, but it hasn't loaded yet. And it says, "I'm proud to announce that I've signed on to be an ambassador for a new chapter in social media called PicStory." And then it's a really pixelated version of Dwight Howard. I don't know how that social media is going to work, but
He's also doing like a bicep curl with the basketball.
Yeah, yeah. More importantly, famous sex therapist Dr. Ruth quote tweeted it and said, "Dwight, remember when I rode in your car at Obama's inauguration?"
Dwight did not respond to this.
Dwight did not respond. And Dwight, of course, did not respond. But this story intrigued Sean and I so much that I told Sean, will you please write a one-act play about what happened between Dr. Ruth and Dwight Howard at Obama's inauguration? Riding in a car.
Yeah, this was kind of inspired by Frost Nixon and also that project they had to cancel about Marlon Brando, Michael Jackson, and Elizabeth Taylor driving cross country after 9/11.
Yeah.
And they had to cancel that because Joseph Fiennes, a Caucasian British actor, was cast in the role of Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I don't know that he's worked since then, Joey.
Mm-hmm. Look, we'll get to the problems with cancel culture after this play.
Yeah, but we got our friends, our friend who's a veteran of Roundball Theater, Greg Edwards,
and
the role of Dwight Howard, and
our very good friend Claire O'Kane playing Dr. Ruth.
America's sweetheart. Yeah.
Please download Claire's comedy album, Let It Be. And check out Greg's art at gregedwardsart.com or his comedy album Dopamine at gregcomedy.com. So here is Roundball Theater starring Greg Edwards and Claire O'Kane in the audacity of dunks.
The audacity of dunks. A play by Roundball Rock. Setting, Washington, D.C., January 20th. It's the day of Barack Obama's first inauguration. NBA All-Star and reigning slam dunk champion Dwight Howard rides in the back of a limousine. Dwight's album, Shoot for the Stars, is playing faintly on the limousine stereo.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me.
Driver, what a day that was. The speeches, the music, that guy who yelled at me for blocking his view by waving a phone finger.
Yes, sir. You were very enthusiastic.
Hey, remember when Obama said we needed to lay a new foundation for growth? And when he paused, I yelled, that's what she said, baby.
I did, sir. It was an excellent impression of Austin Powers.
And remember when Yo-Yo Ma played? I called him Yo-Yo Mama.
Dwight farts.
You declared that many times, sir.
Yo-Yo Mama so fat, she couldn't play for Obama because she ate her cello. Yo-Yo Mama's so stupid, she thought she could see Russia from her house like Sarah Palin.
That one is excellent, sir.
Yo-Yo Mama's so Chinese, she... Driver! Stop the car.
The limousine screeches to a halt.
I think that hobbit is in trouble.
Dwight opens the door and springs from the car. We hear the crowd yelling.
Look, it's the guy who stole Shaq's nickname.
He's even more ripped than Hancock.
The Will Smith character?
Yes, that superhero. That movie was number 4 at the box office last year.
Right behind Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
You know it. Say, Shia LaBeouf seems like a really good guy.
Wait, I think that guy plays for Stan Van Gundy.
The crowd begins chanting as one.
Van Gundy!
Van Gundy!
Van Gundy!
Dwight returns to the car, carrying famous sex therapist Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
Are you okay, little lady?
Thank you. That was a tight squeeze out there. It's like the crowd was doing their Kegel exercises.
Is that like parkour? A lot of the Mall Robin Thugs and Paul Blart Mall Cop did that.
Never mind. Now, let me take a guess. You are a basketball player.
Guilty as charged.
Dwight chuckles and farts.
Only of being Dwight. I mean, I was pretty sure those girls were in junior college.
Yes. You're a Donald Foyle's teammate. I do enjoy his poetry.
Oh, Donald's a good dude. Hilarious voice.
Dwight Howard.
That's me, baby. Shagadelic.
And I am famous sex therapist Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
Ooh, are you related to Baby Ruth? A follow-up question. Do you have a Baby Ruth?
Clark the driver rolls down the partition and hands Dwight a bag of candy.
Aw, thanks, driver.
Dwight farts happily.
Nice to meet you, Dwight. Your true shooting percentage is down this year, but the way you've increased your block rate is truly impressive. I wouldn't be surprised if you set a career high for defensive wind shares.
Oh, you really know your basketball. Did you hoop?
Dwight, I'm 4'7". The only hoops I'm using are cock rings.
I'm going to get a ring soon, this year even. I definitely won't have to wait 11 more years.
But I do love basketball. After my husband died, I became very interested in the sport. Probably because I was fucking Scottie Pippen.
Wow.
Dwight farts in surprise.
He had an absolutely enormous penis, Dwight. Why do you think my voice sounds like this now?
Oh, he's the Donald Foyle of the Chicago Bulls, that's for sure.
We broke up because he wasn't available one night for a booty call, and I had sex with Tony Kukoc instead. Say, why are you at the inauguration, Dwight?
Hey, I'm a big Obama guy. I really believe in hope and change, and a president who can finish in traffic with both hands, you know. Although, I'm a little disappointed.
Why is that, Dwight?
It's just that I thought I was going to be the first black president.
Our country does need to rebound. you know, because of the housing crisis.
Hey, if we need more houses, they should have me shoot free throws. I put up a lot of bricks.
Both laugh. Dwight farts. And then Dwight laughs again.
Seriously, it's a huge problem. I'm terrified. I might have to shoot free throws in the NBA Finals and totally blow the game.
Chucking and blowing. That reminds me of when I was banging two-time MVP Steve Nash. But Dwight, why do you want to be president?
I'm already a great leader. Ask anyone. And I really care about a lot of issues, like making sure the poor have enough to eat.
That's great. What else do you want to do?
Well, I want to ban vegetable and legalize 3 seconds in the key and lower the age of consent nationally to about 16 years old.
That one is coupling, Dwight.
I'm just saying, if it's legal for a 16-year-old girl to drive, why is it illegal for her to have sex with me in the back of that car? Allegedly. Allegedly.
Come on, kids. What's up with me? Break it down.
Speaking of Obama, I hope you can change this music.
But it's almost the part where I do my Arnold impression.
It's not cool to make fun of someone's voice, Dwight.
The music changes to an acoustic cover of Single Ladies.
What do you think about the big bank bailout?
I don't like it. Thanks to a real Tim Duncan move, you know? And that guy's never winning another title. I think we need to dunk on all these fat cats who stole money from hardworking Americans and reject all their plea deals.
Yes, but our economy needs a stimulus package. We can't just jam our way into recovery.
Oh, I love jamming.
Dwight farts again.
We need a stimulus. It's important to firm up the economy. Wake up, make the working people feel safe and cared for before the government spending completely penetrates every level of society. I would suggest forgiving student loans to get consumer spending going. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's like stroking the clitoris. Funny, huh?
The clitoris what?
Dwight, don't you know what the clitoris is? It's a small sensitive part of the female genitals at the anterior end of the vulva.
The interior of a vulva? Trust me, lady. I'm way too tall for that. It's got to be an Escalade or a Hummer for me.
I do love a good Hummer.
Yeah, me too. And since it's 2009, they've only stopped production very recently due to new emission standards. And speaking of emissions...
Dwight farts.
No, Dwight. The clitoris is a little knob that... you know what? I'll show you.
Dr. Ruth unzips.
Giggity.
Dwight farts, hornily this time.
You see, the clitoris is the Jameer Nelson of the vagina. It's small, and it can be hard to find, especially when it's screened.
Is this what Coach Stan meant by spreading the floor?
But just like Jameer, the clitoris gets everyone else going, so you have to make sure to give him a lot of touches.
That's incredibly informative about sex and basketball, Dr. Ruth.
I recommend the movie I call The Lick and Roll.
I'm never running pick and roll. I'm Dwight Howard. I post up. I post the fuck up.
Okay. It was just an analogy, Dwight.
I'll do an analogy, though I used to think it was gross, but now I just make her take a shower first. You know, cleanliness.
Dwight, you sound like a very sexually active man. Please tell me you're using protection.
I'm waiting until Obamacare kicks in next week, and then condoms will be free. After all, universal health care is wildly popular in this country, so it should be a slam dunk, right?
I agree. Our government would have to fuck up colossally for this to still be an issue a month from now, let alone a decade from now.
Until then, I'll still be using the rhythm method.
Dwight, that's very irresponsible.
It's fundamentally sound. Only failed me once so far.
Dwight farts.
Driver, could you crack the sunroof, please? Dwight, I notice you're wearing a Superman Scully.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. I wore a Superman cape when I won the dunk contest.
And on the court, you feel like a Man of Steel?
Yeah, and I pretty much never get hurt. It's awesome. I don't even bother to wear a weight belt or lift my with my knees when I'm moving furniture. My back is indestructible.
As a doctor, I must suggest you try some stretching, perhaps some yoga classes. Flexibility is extremely underrated, which I learned during a passionate weekend of lovemaking with Sean Marion.
You slept with the Matrix?
Yes. His motion was very unorthodox, but it got the job done. Plus, he was very versatile. He could play inside or out. I hope he wins a title someday.
For the Dallas Mavericks, not likely, Dr. Ruth.
You should never underestimate J.J. Barrier, Dwight. Trust me.
Dr. Ruth, this might sound corny, but I'm excited about this country. I'm excited about hope and change and our chances to beat LeBron, even if he does have a puppet version of a man.
It could be a powerful feeling to have an entire hand inside you.
And I'm also excited about being a better and more responsible sexual partner and finding the Jameer. I mean the clitoris.
I am so proud of you. I wish you played in Brooklyn so we could hang out together all the time.
Dr. Ruth, there's no NBA team in Brooklyn, but if there was, I'd force my way out of Orlando so I could spend time with you. The only way they'll be able to keep me there is if they did something crazy like stocking an entire plane with candy.
Thank you, Dwight. Now, can you drop me off at Nick Young's house?
Absolutely. You gonna fuck him?
Yes, I am.
Dr. Ruth queefs. The end.
I need to get myself away from this place. I said, yep, what a concept. I could use a little fuel myself, and we could all use a little.
All right, that was The Audacity of Dunks. Please check out Claire and Greg. Their links are in the description of the episode. Back to Keith. Keith, you're back. How did you enjoy that play?
That was powerful. I don't know what the word I could use. Moving, perhaps? Powerful and moving.
But more importantly, Keith, I have a question for you. As a man who runs a podcast that covers Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Duke being out of the NCAA tournament?
I mean, I'm not even sure what they've been doing this year, but I did see they were out for COVID reasons. Mm-hmm. So that does seem delightful. I feel sad for my current Grizzlies, Tyus Jones, Justice Winslow, and Grayson Allen, and also GM Zach Kleiman, Duke Law School graduate. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, as a Duke hater, that's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is not a good omen for the playoff chances of the New Orleans Pelicans, who I believe have 9 Duke alumni on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
Duke was like 13-11, and they had to win the ACC tournament. And then a COVID test got them thrown out of the ACC tournament, which is good because it gives Mike Krzyzewski an excuse.
When a team loses in college now, this tournament season, if a team loses, you know, can't play because of COVID, does their opponent get an automatic advancement? Do they shake up the bracket? Do they have to draw up a new tournament?
You are asking the wrong person.
But I'm fairly sure they just advance their opponent to the next round in the ACC.
Nice. Win in advance.
Yeah.
I
don't think they canceled the tournament itself. I'm sure it was like they probably got it at some weird racist Duke secret society thing too. Anyway, right? Isn't that the most likely?
Yeah. They got it at Skull and Bones, at a Skull and Bones meeting.
Sean, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh. Who's more excited about this, George Karl or Rick Pitino?
Oh. Now, George Karl spent a great deal of his book ripping on Duke and its alums. Slightly less time than he spent ripping on members of the Denver Nuggets or African American centers who score points. Mm-hmm, yeah. Those were real no-nos. And ordering one beer at a time was also something he was very against.
Big no-no for George Karl.
but I do think that Rick Pitino is most psyched about this.
Why is he in an Italian restaurant?
Well, he's more excited that indoor dining is opening up. But his Iona somethings are two wins away from the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
So great to see Rick back on the sidelines. Bringing his brand of wisdom and leadership to these kids, and hopefully continuing his Louisville tradition of having a regular squad of escorts paid to bang 17-year-olds who visit his school.
Are there players in the NBA? Like, did Donovan Mitchell play for Rick Pitino? Was that still Louisville coach then? I don't follow college basketball at all anymore, so I have no concept.
I'm pretty sure he was on that
team. Was Borgie Jang a Rick Pitino guy?
That's a good question. Rick Pitino got let go, I think, in 2016. No, it was later.
Just looked up. So he coaches the Iona Gales.
Sure.
The Gales, and okay. when they lose in the first round this year, I'm going to give you the speech he's going to give. Are you ready?
Yes.
Scott Machado is not walking through that door. Sean Green is not walking through that door. Richie Guerin is not walking through that door. Jeff Rowland is not walking through that door. And finally, Steve Burt Sr. is not walking through that door. That is your entire list of Iona Gales who've played in the NBA.
Oh, congratulations. Yes, Donovan Mitchell was there at sex trafficking you in that era.
Sure.
Also Damian Lee, Terry Rozier.
Oh, yeah, scary Terry.
Montrezl Harrell.
Mm-hmm.
They're all still in the this is all still the escort era. Is Chinanu Onuwankwo in the NBA?
What a great question.
That is a great question.
broken-legged Kevin Ware, J.R. Smith's little brother. Russ.
Chinanu Onuwankwo currently plays for Zadar in the Croatian League.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a foundation of coaching. He's taken that Pitino magic. But yes, Gorgie Jang was there during the escort era. He was recruited in the escort era.
Keith, you root for the Grizzlies. Where does Gorgie Jang's 3-point percentage currently rank in the NBA?
Is he still number one?
I don't think he might be number two.
He's 40. He is going to fall out of the leaderboard because of he's not going to qualify because he hasn't been playing. I'm pretty sure off the top of my head his 3-point percentage right now is 49% for the season. So it's pretty
crazy.
High.
It's really high. Yeah. Keith,
I want you to save this for later, but think about what teams could use a Jang type this year.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah.
All right, Sean, our next news story is, of course, the hateful Myers Leonard. Sean, just know if at any point this gets a little too sticky, my wife needs me.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That's the funniest part of this story.
Yeah.
Which is not really very funny, but
Myers Leonard was streaming on Call of Duty and he said a terrible slur against Jewish people after getting sniped in the face on Call of Duty. He was fined $50,000 and suspended for 1 week, but also has stepped away from the heat to talk to a numerous amount of PR rabbis. He claims he didn't know what the word meant, but I gotta say, on the video, it really seems like he says it with a lot of gusto as someone who might know what that word means.
He pauses and winds up for it too.
Yeah.
It doesn't really slip out.
No, I mean, not that it's slipping out would also be excusable because obviously it's not, but
the forcefulness and clarity in which he said it is something I've never heard before, I think, for any slur.
We
it was the loudest and strongest yeah. I'd ever heard anyone say something like that.
We were talking about this.
I heard anyone say that word.
That was what I was going to say.
American History X.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It was like the windup you talked about was similar to a basketball play where mm-hmm. you're reviewing a hard foul.
Right.
And I was watching whatever the game, the Spurs Mavericks game on Wednesday night in the NBA. I think it was Greg Weiner and Greg Anthony. They're reviewing a play where Willie Cauley-Stein shoved Jakob Poeltl into his teammate Derek White.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just talking like, well, that's a flagrant one. That might be a flagrant two. Greg Anthony says, have they ever called a flagrant three? And then Matt White said, that's not actually a rule. There isn't a flagrant three. But Myers Leonard, with that windup and delivery, that's not a reasonable play. That's not a, I mean, what, I don't want to say a basketball play. That's not a streaming play.
No.
The way he delivered it definitely deserved, you know, all the punishment he received. I know the $50,000 fine, it's the maximum allowed fine. I guess if you call it a maximum fine, it's a little bit better, but. It was stunning, and yeah, the the flagrant three of things you can say loudly into a video stream that you're broadcasting to people while you're too injured to play basketball.
And I've got to say, if anyone should know if a flagrant three exists, it should be Greg Anthony, because he once rushed off the bench in street clothes to fight Kevin Johnson during a game. That, and if that would be a flagrant three.
What if we changed all the flagrant twos to threes and the flagrant threes to fours, guys? Okay, Joey, I have a question.
Sure.
You are a gamer.
I am. A first-person gamer. I play a first-person shooter. It's called Apex Legends. On Tuesday, it came out on the Nintendo Switch. If you're one of our listeners, join the Apex Legends Club, Round Ball Rock. Just search Round Ball Rock in the club section, and I'll play some Apex Legends with you. My name is your boy, Guy Fieri.
Can you spell that for the listeners?
You are BOYGUYFIERI. And I should mention, multiple times a day on Apex Legends, some random person will get on their microphone and be like, what's Guy Ferrari? And I'm like, man, the dumbest people on earth play video games.
But Joey, do 12-year-olds know about Guy Fieri?
Sometimes, a lot of times, okay. I'll get, so there's a function in Apex Legends where you can type speech to text if you don't feel like turning your microphone on. And oftentimes someone will make the robot say, let's go to Flavor Town before the match starts.
That's a wait. So you can, I didn't, so the speech to text, it'll speak it in your
yeah, sorry,
robot.
Text to speech. Yes.
Text
yes,
to speech.
Yes,
oh, that's yes, amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wasn't, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Every once in a while, somebody will put a slur into the text-to-speech as well.
What's amazing?
You'd think that it wouldn't say that, but it will.
What's amazing about... I'd say what's amazing about Myers-Leonard thing is he received a large contract this offseason, basically
just so they could trade him.
Yeah, just to be traded. I know you guys don't prefer the term human trade exception. Mm-hmm. You find it offensive. But essentially, that's what he was. Like, they're signing him above market value because they have his bird rights, saying, you know, we can normally weasel our way into some deals. We'll have this large Myers Leonard salary, a nice, inoffensive, polite, stands for the anthem white guy. We can trade to any market. And now he's ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not even sure they can trade him.
My question, it's easy. Do the Indiana Pacers or the Utah Jazz value his bird rights? Because that's the reason. Those are the only two possible trade candidates, right?
No, his career is over. His career as a basketball player is over. His career as a talking head on Tucker Carlson is just starting, though.
Right.
He is the Ariel Pink of the NBA now.
It is incredible because he is like so many things. He is an overdrafted white player who Draymond Green specifically goes out of his way to just humiliate him every time they face each other, because I think he went like 27 picks ahead of Draymond or something. He's a fake troop. Mm-hmm. He pretends
he's
to be
the NBA's only fake troop, I believe.
Yeah.
The Mavericks drafted that real troop a couple of years ago, but I don't think he ever played.
Yeah, and Marshall Plumlee's a real troop, but he's not. Yeah. It's actually an Army Ranger. He has a terrible lifestyle brand. Mm-hmm. He's really beloved by a franchise. I'm not making any judgments about the city, but it does seem like the Portland Trailblazers tend to fall in love with under-talented Caucasians.
Mm-hmm. What's really weird about
except his they hate wife. The one that looks like a barn owl now.
But they hate him now?
I think so. Yeah, because he's hurt all the time.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say what's so interesting about Myers-Leonard's career is how, like, fortunate he's been financially, not like on the grand human scale, but on the specific NBA scale. He turned down, in his rookie deal with the Blazers, he turned down an extension that was like 4 year, $40 million after he had a very good playoff series in which, you know, the Blazers got destroyed, but he put up like a 50-40-90 season, I want to say, and they offered him a 4 year, $40 million extension and he turned it down. And then he did nothing the next year. He was basically hurt the whole year. And they're like, you know what? You're a good guy. We'll give you 4 years, $40 million again, even though it was then an overpay at that point. And then he turned it again to these Miami Heat deals where he's been overpaid for his entire career.
Yeah.
I mean, even on a rookie deal, it was too high a rookie deal for how good he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a gym at 3 a.m. guy. He's a lifestyle brander. It's I think he sells energy foods.
Yeah, it's all the things Sean hates.
It's like, fitness foods, working out at 3 a.m. Fake trying troops. To one up. Yeah, fake troops. His hair. I don't like his hair.
The sunglasses he wore in that Athletic.
Oh, man, that photo. If you haven't seen the graphic the Athletic made to announce this story, please look it up. It's like he looks like a combination of like a St. Louis Cardinal and a drone pilot.
Oh, he also has a sexual assault beard, I would say, right?
The beard, sure. Yeah. Anyway, GTFO, Myers-Leonard, that's all I've got to say. Yeah. have been sent to the lobby by that sniper, both in-game and IRL. You got, as the streamers say, shit on, my man.
He did set an example. If you want to say anything truly heinous as an NBA player, do it while you're injured, because if they suspend you, they can't take your pay away.
That's the worst part, man. I'm pro union, so like, good on the union of getting that, but also, boy, does it suck he's getting paid.
Well, I mean, that's why they don't. I mean, the thing is, these guys know what NBA owners are like. You know what I mean? Like, because they would, if you've been on the Epstein plane, you're not above sending like a leg breaker out to take out someone's Achilles tendon. Like that's why dead players don't come off the cap immediately, because it's too tempting. like once you start selling to Russian oligarchs, you're really going to risk a lot of stuff. Like, you know, I mean, I don't think the Spurs owner is connected enough, but I think, like, had he been playing for the Prokhorov Nets, LaMarcus Aldridge may have just been poisoned.
Sean, is there any other news you want to cover, or should we get to some fake trades with Keith? You want to talk about Dame, right?
I do. Yeah. This is from our good friend, power listener, Brian Windhorst, in his podcast, in his All-Star Game podcast.
Oh, please don't aggregate this section of the podcast.
He drove 11 miles alone. 11 hours. Damn it. I'm backing off that one.
I just, I've been to every state capital. That's something Brian Windhorst once said. He's been to every state capital.
He's been to Juneau, Alaska. That's the weirdest one to me. Everyone else is like feasible, where, you know, you end up in like, you know, a lot of places, there's like a college town there. Mm-hmm. In a state that doesn't maybe have that much population density, but
Juneau, Alaska, you are going out of your way. There's not even like a basketball tournament there.
Keith, have you? How many state capitals do you think you've been to?
Oh, probably 35, maybe
40. Wow,
30. That was, no. Well, I think
I'm at like four.
I've been to like 40 states, but I wouldn't be sure. I've been like I haven't been to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're missing out. Probably, what beautiful downtown!
I'm trying to think how many I've been to.
Yeah. I would say I've been to every capital city in the Southeast. Certainly.
Oh, okay.
Like Arkansas, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina.
Have you been to Albany, New York?
No, yeah, I've never been to Albany, New York. So like the Northeast is going to kill me. I've only been to the big cities.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're not, and same with the West.
Well, like, Keith, once this pandemic is over,
uh-huh,
we'll take you to Sacramento, California.
I'm honestly a big fan. I'm a vocal advocate.
We'll go to that weird California Summer League and then drive to Vegas go to the Vegas Summer League.
Is it Olympia? What's Washington?
Olympia, Washington.
Yeah, I've never been there. I've only been to Seattle as far as I know.
You know, I've been to a lot of states. I think I've been to six state capitals. I've been to Phoenix, Sacramento, all the West Coast, Salem and Olympia. But on the East Coast, I mean, I really think I've only been to Des Moines and Indianapolis. Other than that, mm-hmm, I've gone to a lot of states, but...
Sean, have you been to Austin?
I have not been to Austin. I haven't been anywhere in the
Southeast. You love Austin. Sean, you should say,
man.
It's weird. No, I mean, I went to New Orleans and I loved it. And I drove across the country twice in 2015. And so I went to a lot of states, but... I gotta say, I felt like Harrison Barnes in how much I loved the Iowa Capitol building. It has so much cool stuff to it. I was so into it. And then Indianapolis, I didn't actually visit the Capitol.
All right, that is Brian Windhorst talk. Back to Damian Lillard.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Boy, I'm so distracted because I'm thinking about all the capitals I want to visit.
Brian Windhorst, take us to the state capitals. That's my dream. Anyway.
Man, I would pay for that Patreon experience.
Yeah,
so someone got in touch with Chris Haynes after the All-Star game from Dame's camp.
He made
sure to stress it was not Dame Lillard himself. It was probably Nate Jones or his record producer, somebody from...
See, it was CJ McCollum.
It was CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
Who was upset that Chris Haynes had voted for Giannis as All-Star MVP instead of Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Which is possibly the ultimate Damian Lillard thing.
Giannis shot 16 for 16, we should say, in the All-Star game. 16, he was perfect, 100%. 16 of 16.
He was 16 of 16. Now Dame Lillard did... end the game. I think he made three threes in a row at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, by the way, I'm going to complain that ESPN's box scores make you scroll to get things. That is so stupid. So Giannis had 35 points on 16 of 16 shooting, seven rebounds, three assists, a steal and a block. Dame had 32 points. He had two rebounds, and as a point guard, he had one assist.
Mm-hmm.
He had no steals and no blocks, and he made both his free throws. I'm also going to say Steph Curry had the exact same three-point shooting as Dame. He scored 28 points. He had four rebounds, four assists, and two steals. To me, even at a glance, even considering that Lillard probably made all those shots after most of the MVP ballots were in,
mm-hmm,
because they were like the final few shots of the game, he's still like the third place choice.
I mean, here's the thing. I won't say it's peak Dame because Dame has a real yin and yang to him for me, where it's like he does a bunch of cool stuff that makes me love him, and then does one thing, usually All-Star related or hip-hop related, that then brings him down my list of not favorite players Like, if Dame would just not stop writing letters at the All-Star game, he would be one of my three favorite players in the NBA. But he continually writes open letters or complains about something that happened in the All-Star game.
Yeah, he wrote an open letter. He had an open letter, and which Tony Allen once hilariously, after he posted his open letter to Adam Silver, Jared Dudley tweeted, "Is it me, or how does the Memphis Grizzlies only have one All-Star? They're 38-13, especially since Kobe and Blake aren't in the game this year." And Tony Allen said, "Because Mike and Zebo didn't write a letter."
Yeah. No, that is, I mean,
and Lillard did in fact get selected to that game as an injury replacement ahead of those guys. So if you're worried, if you're wondering why Mike Conley didn't make an All-Star team until 2021, it's because of Damian Lillard whining on Instagram.
No, Grizzlies fans know that story by heart. I mean, that's part of Grizzlies lore. They're like, people don't remember. I mean, Damian Lillard, you know, made a leap in the past few years to become this, like, you know, near MVP candidate. He was not that when he was named to the All-Star game over Mike Conley years ago when the Grizzlies were way better. And every time Mike Conley played Damian Lillard, he destroyed him. And like that eventually Damian Lillard became way better than Mike Conley and people forgot. But like back then, that was a very sore spot. And one of the reasons why Grizzlies fans were kind of relieved that at least Mike Conley got in this year finally, because they do feel like he was absolutely snubbed because Damian Lillard wrote a letter to the commissioner and posted it on Instagram.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Can I write a letter to the commissioner asking them to stop considering letters to the commissioner?
Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, I do like that, you know, maybe the voters of the All-Star game, I like imagining, like, the voters for the MVP, they could sense his thirstiness for the MVP and him taking up, like, because, I mean, this used to be the case where you would watch the All-Star game and you could tell the guys who wanted the MVP because of how much they weren't passing and were taking, like, maybe one too many easy dunk opportunities and not passing it to the next guy. Like this used to be Russell Westbrook. This was Kobe Bryant all the time where they would just take all the shots. And I feel like seeing Damian Lillard, we're like, oh, this guy wants it. If you want it, it's not cool. You know, like that's the,
but also a guy shot 100% from the floor and like,
well, and that guy shot 16 of 16, and somehow the point guard that played with him for, like, 15 minutes got one assist. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, maybe pass the ball in an All-Star game when you're 6 feet tall.
I'm with you there. And I felt like no one was reciprocating with Jokic. Like, he was throwing them fun passes. And no one was throwing him fun passes.
Yeah, they were just like, hey, rebound. You rebound. I did find the Lillard-Curry-Paul sequences to be the highlight, though. That was really fun.
It was a fun All-Star game.
But weirdly, I just thought Paul and Curry had much more of a All-Star spirit of like, we're gonna throw lobs.
Yeah. Anyway, Dame, stop writing letters. Also, here's one thing I really don't
like. Paul had 16 assists, by the way. Okay.
Here's something I really didn't like about this in particular is Chris Haynes is the guy Dame leaks to. Right. So this is a threat. Like, this is literally a threat. Like, you gotta be Team Dame from now on, or else you're gonna sleep with the fishes on my daughter's christening day.
Yeah, fit in or fit out, Haynes.
Yeah. Anyway, we gotta move on to the thing we brought Keith on here to do. Keith, you love making fake trades.
Yes, I do.
The trade deadline is coming up in a week. I wanted to bring you on and just throw us and some listeners some fun fake trades you've made going into the deadline here.
Well, I'm worried I'm going to greatly disappoint you because this homework assignment, which I normally love, like coming up with fake trades spontaneously. When I started looking at like trying to figure out where to move these guys, where it's like, oh, maybe Evan Fournier is available. Maybe the Magic are dangling Terrence Ross, or like the Spurs and LaMarcus Aldridge have broken up. I looked at all these players and I'm like, who in the world is going to trade for these people? And, like, because of all the salary match stuff, it's like, no one's trading for Andre Drummond. Like that's crazy. Like Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo turned down an ample contract extension that was offered by the Houston Rockets. Mm-hmm. Victor Oladipo is a huge injury concern who is somewhere in this, like, he's kind of good, but he's not an all-star. He's not – we don't think he's ever going to maybe get back to being an all-star. And if he didn't want that contract, what kind of contract is he thinking he's going to get?
Well, I'll tell you what he wants. He wants a recording contract from Interscope Records.
Maybe that's it. So, like, I sat down and I tried to come up with some realistic trades because, like, I've nailed some before. Like, I nailed – like the Chris Paul Thunder Suns deal last summer, man, I had that 4 months early. Sure, my my hit rate isn't good, but that one I got right. But still, like, I'm trying to come up with these fake trades. I feel like it's going to be a very cooled market because maybe it's because of, like, the new play-in tournament where 20 teams are going to be in the play-in.
Yeah, it's some real hockey shit now.
So, like, you look at a team like, you know, like the Bulls, where you think, will the Bulls trade Lauri Markkanen because they didn't come to an agreement on an extension? Uh-huh. It's like, but I don't know who's going to pay up for a Lauri Markkanen going into the trade deadline. So, I mean, here's a fake trade. Like, so that being said.
Well, yeah, you think, let me just cut in for a second. The Chicago Bulls are the perfect example of why the Eastern Conference is basically frozen, because they're 16-18, and they are two games out of the four seed.
Yeah.
So it's hard to cut bait for anybody there. Even the Cavs are three games out.
Well, so the Cavs have this, like, this group of untouchable players, which makes sense. You have, I mean, like, I'm not blaming them. I'm making fun of them. Like, they want to keep Jared Allen. They want to keep Larry Nance Jr. They want to keep Colin Sexton, Isaac Okoro, and Darius Garland. Great. Mm-hmm. So that means they're willing to trade
Kevin Love.
That's right. No one in the world would trade for Kevin. Like, Kevin is not good.
And he has 2 years left on his deal.
He's got a 3-year deal. And so, like, I'm trying to figure out, all right, would like Kevin Love for LaMarcus Aldridge and then the Cavs buy out LaMarcus Aldridge? Like, no, I don't. There's no chance that, like, the Spurs want to add all this money. So, like, my trade options are we going to operate in a world where we think, like, is Buddy Hield available? Like, if Buddy Hield's available, I can give you some fake trades.
Buddy Hield's available for sure.
Because the Kings keep saying, like, no, we're not selling.
They are absolutely going to trade our man Harrison Barnes at the deadline. That my prediction is Harrison Barnes is going to be the biggest name that moves at the deadline.
I mean, so, like, my Harrison Barnes trade is essentially, like, Harrison Barnes, you know, to the Celtics for a lottery protected first rounder.
Yep.
And that's, like, the most boring trade, I mean, ever, because you don't have to match salary, and I'm not even certain it's going to happen. Like, I don't even know if I'm the Celtics, if I feel like I would want to give up a first-round pick just to bring in Harrison Barnes. Just, like, I don't feel like that's going to move the needle for them.
Okay, so we are probably Harrison Barnes stands, or maybe I'm just talking about myself in this situation. But I really think he is, like, a perfect just sort of, like, floor raising player, if that makes sense. Now the weird thing is that he is signed for two more years after this. He does have a descending contract. So he is owed, he makes 22 this year, and then, you know, the next 2 years it's just 38.5. And I can't tell if, I mean, he's had very good timing in terms of the years where he's negotiated new deals have been unusually rich salary cap environments. But it still feels like that's too much for a guy who I still think is good. Like Harrison Barnes is a much better 3-point shooter than people acknowledge, like passable small forward defense, pretty decent power forward defense, and yet the salary he's had for the last 5 years is just wildly off what I feel like he should make. And maybe 18 million for Harrison Barnes is actually an appropriate contract.
I think
it just
it
definitely
is.
Doesn't feel that way. I actually think he would help a team a lot, but I can also see how it feels like you're
really settling to pick that up for the next 2 years, that you're like, yeah, this is about as good as we could do. And that's why he got the extension with the Kings. I thought, this makes sense, because if you're the Kings, you're not doing better than this in regular free agency. And in fact, most of the guys you do sign in free agency are much larger disasters mm-hmm. than this. You know, trading Trevor Ariza 4 months into his deal, or buying out Dwayne Dedman like 2 months into his deal, or whatever they did. But yeah, I just think a team that dreams and has confidence in itself is going to feel bad about acquiring Harrison Barnes, even though he would help literally every team in the NBA, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's paid fairly. I mean, that, you know, paying $18 million a year for a starter who doesn't hurt you is adequate. I mean, he's an above average starter, and like those guys cost $18 million. That's one of the weird things where I get hung up on people saying Buddy Hield's overpaid. Like mm-hmm. Buddy Hield is making $24 million this year, which is certainly a lot, but these cap numbers, it's all about the context of where they fit on your team. And he also has that descending salary. And if you're acquiring a guy who can, you know, shoot 10 3-pointers per game and make 40% of them, that costs $20 million.
Okay, but I got one here. What about this for Harrison Barnes? Are you ready?
Yeah.
The Miami Heat trade Kelly Olynyk, a lottery protected 2022 first round pick, and Myers Leonard for Harrison Barnes.
You know, those guys who used to like spray paint racial hate, those guys who hate crimed Omri Caspi all the time in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Love that deal.
I don't like for the Heat. I mean, Harrison Barnes isn't playing over. Is he playing over Duncan Robinson? Because it's like, I assume we got Bam Adebayo, we got Jimmy Butler. Then is it Duncan Robinson, Tyler Harrell, Goran Dragic? Like, is that their best five? I don't know. So like, I mean, I don't know.
He certainly fits that like Jay Crowder role that they're missing from last year's team, right?
Avery Bradley. Is Avery Bradley still alive?
Avery Bradley is still alive. Yeah, he's.
I know he's on the Heat. I mean, I feel
he has a 10.4 PER this year and is a minus 0.76 PIPM, whatever that means, according to TradeNBA.com.
Player impact plus minus. Yeah. I mean, so here's the deal I came up with.
Okay.
This is the most realistic deal I could think of. It, I think, checks boxes for both teams involved. And I have the New York Knicks trading with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because Tibbs said a thing recently that I love. I think it was 2 days ago, Tibbs said, I have a thing for good players.
Mm-hmm.
When asked about if they would be active at the trade deadline. So Tibbs wants some good players. So I think Kevin Knox for Trevor Ariza. NBA blockbuster. Trevor Ariza goes to the New York Knicks. And the Thunder take a flyer on Kevin Knox.
Is Trevor Ariza going to play, though?
Trevor Ariza is maybe ready to play. I'm not sure. I think he's sitting the year out like Andre Iguodala did last year. I'm not certain where Trevor Ariza is right now. I kind of forgot about him until earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not sexy enough?
I mean, it's it's not very sexy, admittedly.
How about this? I do think if there was one team that would trade for Victor Oladipo, it might be the New York Knicks. And I know they have Derrick Rose and Emmanuel Quickley and Elfrid Payton. But they're under the salary. They're like one of the only teams that's actually under the salary cap. They could acquire him if Tibbs is addicted to good players and he thinks Victor Oladipo is that. Like maybe they would give Kevin Knox and something else, Frank Ntilikina and like a second rounder.
Oh, man, that would break poor Bob Silverman's heart.
It would be sad.
Frankie Smokes.
I can't identify anyone who should trade for Victor Oladipo. Like, do you guys have thoughts on it?
I was sort of into the idea this, like, when I was sort of into the Warriors trading for him, actually, when that rumor came out earlier this week, just because you're only trading for him, right, if you're going to re-sign, if you hear from his camp that he'll re-sign there, right? And what the Warriors are currently really missing is someone else who can dribble and score. And he is still doing that, kinda. Like, he's obviously not good, but, you know, something like Oubre for Oladipo, and I love Oubre. Oubre's a better player, obviously, and, but something like Oubre and Wanamaker for Oladipo made sense to me.
I'd rather have Oubre.
I'd rather have Oubre too, but you're only doing that trade if Oubre's camp tells you he doesn't want to re-sign there because he doesn't want to be the sixth man next year.
Right, but it still seems like you'd still rather have Oubre for the rest of the season, right? Aren't both their contracts up?
Yeah. I just mean, to me, I don't know, the fact that he can dribble a little bit and maybe score as the makes more sense as the bench scorer, your bench initiator when in the lineups when Curry and Draymond sit. I could see the thought behind that, at least.
Uh-huh. Do you think he would enjoy the music scene in Oakland, Joey?
Yeah, absolutely, of course.
He hooks up with, like, En Vogue, maybe?
No, it wouldn't be En Vogue. It would be Raphael Sadiq, right? He'd be in that new soul, the Oakland new soul.
Tony Victor.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm trying to make a blockbuster to not let you down.
Somebody should trade for this guy.
Who?
Although I guess he's going to be a free agent, so there's not really any incentive.
Frankie Smokes.
I wouldn't give up on him. Some team should take a shot at him. Give him some playing time.
So
fix his knees.
I'm going to try this one. I'm trying this on TradeNBA.com. Oh, this is going to be tough. We're going to have to finagle some things.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's kind of okay with me.
We are. Here we go. LaMarcus Aldridge.
Okay.
We're going to send LaMarcus Aldridge to the Kings.
Okay.
The Kings are going to send Buddy Hield and Nemanja Bjelica to the Mavericks.
Ooh, I like that for the Mavs.
Okay, here we go.
The Mavericks are going to send expiring contract of James Johnson and the bad contract of Dwight Powell to the Thunder. Plus, maybe we'll have a little draft compensation in here.
Oh, good. Say, you know our man Presti's got to get a taste of that draft.
And then...
Yeah. Okay.
And then the Thunder are going to unload a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to send... Hang on. Let's see if this works. They're going to send George Hill to the Celtics.
Okay.
Just to go to that trade player exception. And Al Horford to the Spurs.
Wow.
Poor
Jakob Poeltl, man. Why has he got to be behind these old assholes, though?
That's just the way the Spurs play it, man. That's the way the Spurs play it. You got Al Horford coming in. I don't know. Maybe we can leave the Spurs out of this and just have the Kings acquiring Al Horford.
See, I think our man Vivek would be into that. Because
I feel like the Kings are one of those teams that maybe would look at Al Horford and say, like, he's good.
We
need
help.
We
can fix him, yeah.
They do need help. Like, Rashawn Holmes is, like, he's, like, cool, but he might be more cool than he is good as far as, like, just playing straight-up center.
Yeah.
And they need some defense a little.
You know what, though? My favorite NBA players are all more cool than they are good. Anthony Randolph, Jason Richardson, Josh Smith.
All right, let's undo this. Let's move Horford to the Kings. Come on, Trade NBA, don't fail me now.
Come on, get him there. They need his leadership.
Can the Mavs?
Oh, the Thunder can't get James Johnson.
Oh, because they unloaded
had James Johnson.
Oh no!
Oh, it's incredible. So James Johnson has to go somewhere else.
Well, there's a big rumor. Speaking of the Mavericks, there's a rumor that they're going to trade one of their big bad people. Do you see a place for Kristaps Porzingis, Keith?
Oh, man. No, that's another one. Where it's like, right? where? I mean, honestly, Porzingis is a great fit for the Celtics, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the Celtics would be willing to compensate like draft wise to make up for that, because you would expect to get, you know, the Mavs are already down 2 first-round picks because of acquiring Porzingis. Mm-hmm. So they would hope to at least recoup 2 first-round picks.
Right.
And, you know, would the Celtics be willing to do that? And those first round picks wouldn't even be that valuable. So it's tough. I mean, it all goes back to me. Like, I have a lot of difficulty envisioning many of these trades.
So,
like,
you're telling me there's going to be no trades this year, you think?
I mean, that would be my prediction, and hopefully by me saying it out loud, that will then cause it to be wrong.
I do think I would predict that both, in fact, high school teammates, the major quote-unquote trades, the things what everyone's supposed to be excited about this year, are going to be Harrison Barnes and Doug McBuckets.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
I think those two are getting moved. Anybody else? I don't know.
I mean, I think, you know, like, the Nuggets seem like they should do something, and I feel like they're willing to trade. Like, their matching salary would probably be Will Barton. I don't think they care about having Will Barton. And then you just have to find a team that, like, wants Will Barton. I feel like his value has gone down, you know, precipitously over the last 2 years.
But again, though? Again, as a Golden State Warrior fan, I would gladly take Will Barton at this point.
So you guys have that injury exception, which is just slightly too small for a player that would help you. Like, you could almost get George Hill in there, like, but it's like just a low too small.
9 or something?
It's 8-5, I think.
George Hill is the ideal player to, like, it's unfortunate they couldn't have somehow folded him into that Kelly Oubre deal.
Yeah.
I mean, George Hill, Patty Mills feel like the guys who are really going to possibly help, you know, like a playoff team. It's hoping to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about Gorgui Dieng earlier. I think Gorgui Dieng's, you know, he's not a bad fit on a team that maybe needs some interior defense. I'm not sure which team that is.
And he's an incredible shooter.
And we know he's 49% on threes this year. Yeah, I have trouble seeing it. Like, I want the Grizzlies to trade Gorgui Dieng and Grayson Allen for Buddy Hield. I'm ready to take on the Buddy Hield. But I also think the Sixers would you know, it would be frugal or prudent of them to see if they could get Buddy Hield for, like, you know, either a lottery protected first and Danny Green, or if they include one of their young guys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they're going to give up Tyrese Maxey, but maybe, or like a Shake Milton or something. So I think that team with just another knockdown shooter would be pretty good.
Uh-huh. Wow, you know what's a weird backcourt rotation? Tyrese Haliburton, De'Aaron Fox, and Shake Milton.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a dream for me.
Yeah, I love it.
It's such a big...
What about... We haven't gotten Otto Porter involved. Otto Porter makes $28 million. Like, I feel like LaMarcus Aldridge, the Bulls, you know, were flirting with him for a while. They tried to sign him. I know they have Lauri Markkanen, who maybe they're not going to re-sign. We haven't mentioned the Pelicans. Like, Lonzo Ball is interesting because they haven't re-signed him. I mean, I'm just talking out loud. Like, if the Nuggets could find a way, if the Nuggets could trade, you know, like Will Barton in a first-round pick and maybe like a Bull Bull or something, like, would that be enough to get Lonzo Ball if the Pelicans already know they don't want to re-sign him? Because
the Pelicans should want to re-sign Lonzo based on how he's playing now, I think.
What about, I mean, I think the Pelicans should do some stuff, because the Pelicans and the Thunder are sitting on all these draft picks that they'll never be able to use. The Thunder have 33 picks under their future picks tab on Trade NBA, which, like, you can't use them.
This is the time to get involved and get, you know, a young player that you like instead of sitting. Because otherwise you're going to end up just drafting and stashing these picks or selling them. And it does seem like the general resistance in Congress to the Green New Deal is going to keep the fracking Oklahoma City Thunder flush with cash. They're not going to
And also, the world will, the ice caps will have melted by the time their last picks are coming to them. So they're not even going to make them anyway. You might as well.
I mean, what if the
Pelicans Lauri Markkanen I would like for the Pelicans, actually.
Well, I mean, I think that Lauri Markkanen for Lonzo Ball straight up, a lot of people kind of enjoy that. The question is, you know, can the Pelicans, are you going to play Zion, Lauri, and Brandon Ingram all together?
I just like having a big that sort of spaces the floor for Zion.
He's like Stephen Adams, right?
I mean, Stephen Adams does not do that, no, and neither does Jackson Hayes.
If the Pelicans could trade Stephen Adams for Al Horford and George Hill, oh, wait.
They can't.
isn't Eric Bledsoe maybe going to find a new home, too?
I mean, good luck finding Eric Bledsoe a landing spot.
What about Bledsoe for Oladipo straight up?
I mean, that would be hard to sell for the Rockets. Like,
but you know, they get one of these fake Pelicans picks with it.
The Pelicans, I mean, I keep coming back to Buddy Hield. The Pelicans, like, why wouldn't you want a guy who you know for the next 4 years is going to be good and is under contract?
Mm-hmm.
And if you had, like, with these 20 future picks you have, you know the odds of, what, like, are two of them going to end up actually better than Buddy Hield?
Or, like, right. maybe five will?
Or
wait. Get him, wait a year, and then flip, you know.
Exactly.
It's definitely a decent buy low. He's the GameStop of the NBA right now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think you can get something for these guys. And so it seems like the Thunder would say, hey, we'll let you try to flip George Hill at the deadline. You know, we'll give you these contracts for Buddy Hield. Or even the Pelicans. The Pelicans could trade J.J. Redick and Eric Bledsoe, and then the Kings could try to redirect J.J. Redick, you know, into the Celtics trade exception or something. I mean, it's funny because all these guys with these big name recognition, like, they've fallen off the cliff precipitously. It's like LaMarcus Aldridge, J.J. Redick, like, they're close to being unplayable, it feels like. And those were guys I think these teams had penciled in, we're going to trade them next year. And now we're here, and it's like, oh, J.J. Redick can't shoot, can't run. And, like, that was kind of not the expectation. Maybe they'll have a miracle Nick Batum, you know, renaissance when they get in their new market, but it's kind of bleak when you try to come up with these trades.
You know what J.J. Redick can do, though? Throw a bounce pass at a ref's shins.
That's right.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time. This kind of bummed me out about the trade deadline, Keith. I'm going to be honest.
No, I feel bad. Like, I was, man, I opened up all these tabs, and actually, I started perusing the most popular fake trades on NBAtrade.com, and I was like, this is terrible. Like, all these are terrible. Like, none of these, like, yeah. Do you want to take a flyer on Jabari Parker?
No.
Jabari Parker's available?
Yeah. I was looking, and I was shocked when I remembered that Jabari Parker was in the NBA. I was like, what? He's still there.
I think Jabari Parker can help a team. I'm not kidding. He's just a prolific bench scorer. It seems like somebody would want prolific bench scoring.
Like, I mean, don't you like buckets? Everybody needs buckets.
It's true. Oh, man. No, I don't know what is going to end up happening. Like a team like the Hornets, where I'm like, the Hornets are surprisingly frisky. They've had such a drought kind of doing anything in the playoffs. Maybe they, you know, try to get involved in like a sweepstakes to bring in a Terrence Ross, or, you know, would they be interested in LaMarcus Aldridge? They don't have, like, they have no matching salary. They only have Cody Zeller. And then everyone else on the roster is like, it's Gordon Hayward. It's Nick Batum's dead salary. Like, that's it. So, like, they can't really make any trades. So, like, yeah, I have been kind of my trade machine excitement extremely cooled by trying to come up with any trades that make sense.
Well, that's been our show. Keith, where can our listeners listen to Fast Break Breakfast and Grits and Grinds, the Memphis Grizzlies podcast?
We make a frequent appearance on Myers Leonard Twitch stream. Feature player. No, you know, it's available anywhere you get your podcast. If you're a Grizzlies fan, download Grits and Grinds and subscribe. And then Fast Break Breakfast, we cover the entire league. And also follow me on Twitter at Fast Break Break.
Sean, what do you have to plug today?
Not tonight when this comes out, but in general, every Friday, streaming on Zoom, self-care comedy. I don't know the lineup for March 19th, but I will be hosting the show after getting a second dose of the COVID vaccine. So I should be very sick and possibly autistic now. So looking forward to that.
And the government 19th. Is tracking you, right?
The government's tracking me. Bill Gates is spying on me through my computer. That's why I have a tinfoil thing blocking the camera on my computer, and it has also been soaked in bleach, which is great. The way to kill the coronavirus and 5G.
As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 21 hours ago I tweeted, not only was eating at White Castle painful while I was doing it, the White Castle farts and burps I've had for the past 24 hours since reminds me to never do that again. Paige might kill me. No, I might kill me.
That's troubling. That's like more troubling
than normal. Yeah. Sean, did you write a song?
I did. I'm just going to tell you that it's about Myers Leonard.
That's all great. You need to know. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Patreon.com/roundrockpod, TeePublic store in the description of this episode, at roundrockpod on Twitter, roundrockpod@gmail.com. And shut it down. Let's all hope Keith is wrong and there's some actual trades this year. And also shoot Myers Leonard into space.
Do you ever feel like you just got fragged by the guy who sniped? You were stuck with lag. Do you ever shout out an epithet at a teenager, one who you've never met? Do you get real mad that your squad might lose? And when your head explodes, you snap and try to blame the Jews. Did you never send your dumbass off the team? Because if the Twitch stream, you just gotta avert your eyes, apologize, and tell some lies like you're lobotomized. Cause baby, it's a Myers slur. You say that you don't know the word. Make him go, oh, oh, no, as Pat Riley's dreams die. Baby, it's a Myers slur. Which company will dump you first? Make him go, oh, oh, no. Next year you're playing in Utah. You've been overpaid for your whole career, like a Nazi who sells your own workout gear. You can't play defense when you're on the block, and now it seems that you're endorsing Crystal Knock. Kind of think that you're about to leave the league, and you're not signing a deal with Maccabi Tel Aviv. It's the quickest meltdown that we've ever seen, cause you got mad at a team. You'll get a pass because you're white. Claim it's all spite. Unite the right. You're an anti-Semite. A baby, it's a Myers slur. Your alibi is just absurd. Aubrey Casby's gonna cry. A baby, it's a Myers slur. No longer an entrepreneur. Make him go, oh, oh, no. Go back to rural Illinois. Oi, oi. Dun, dun, dun. Career deader than Mel Gibson. Now your last man is Steve Bannon. Hope Call of Duty was fun. Cause baby, it's a Myers slur. You say that you don't know the word. Make him go, oh, oh, no, as Pat Riley's trade teams die. Baby, it's a Myers slur. Next year.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.